today, and I have enjoyed so much also the fellowship of brethren here and being at the conference, but especially being with your pastor. And I want to take this opportunity to once again thank you for your love and support for us. And we pray for you, and I know that you pray for us also. That's just words cannot express how thankful I am to God. That's why we'll spend all eternity giving Him thanks. I want us to look tonight in Psalm chapter 40. While you're turning there, I want to say a few things. We who by the grace of God believe, we believe that it is by the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. You don't need to. Well, go ahead and turn there. Galatians, hold your place there in Psalm 40. But Galatians 2:16, I think, says it as clear as anybody can want it. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified before God by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. That's your faith in Him. But that your faith in Him doesn't save you. It's His faith. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The Apostle Paul said, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. And tonight I want us to look and by the grace of God see the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the title of the message tonight, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 40. These are the words of the eternal Son of God in flesh. And I know that it's also the words of every believer. But once you see the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, you won't want to see your words. See the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of our Lord. And the Apostle Paul quotes this psalm in Hebrews 10. So we know these are the words of our Lord. This says in verse 1, I waited patiently. Oh, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. I waited patiently. Patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He's speaking as a man now. What he did trusting God. Everything he did not do in the power of the flesh. Though he was a perfect man. He did by faith. By faith. He waited. Salvation is of the Lord. He waited on God. This is confident expectation. And I just marvel to see the waiting of the Lord. This is not reflecting doubt or fears. You and I, we wait and we just fidget. Fret, doubt, have fears, unbelief. But not, that's just not the waiting the Lord Jesus Christ did. He waited because He knew. He believed God. He believed God that what He would deliver him. Patience. I patiently waited. You and I, we're learning patience. We're learning patience. That's why we get trials. Trials produce patience. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He waited patiently. He waited patiently. No doubts, no fears, no murmurings, nor complainings. Always trusting in God His Father. You and I, we need, and the Lord Jesus Christ, this is
way too marvelous to me. But as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ depended on God for wisdom. As man, he depended on God for power. As man, he depended on God for all his provisions. When he was tempted, for instance, when he was tempted, he was taken away into the wilderness and was tempted 40 days. He waited. After 40 days, he hungered. And he waited patiently on the Lord to provide him. So the angels came down and ministered unto him. He waited patiently in the garden when he prayed. Not my will, but thy will be done. And blood came out of his pores. He would have died, but he waited patiently. He never did anything to succor himself, to alleviate his sorrows and trouble in this world. You and I, by our disobedience in Adam, we forfeited all, everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world and he suffered, but he always trusted God. I waited patiently. He hungered, but he didn't make this bread. You know, Satan knew that. He said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He waited patiently. He waited. And when he was crucified, he waited patiently for the Lord to deliver him from the dead. How wonderful. Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. He says, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He bent over and heard my cry. In the Lord's own time, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ was tried, and when the trial was accomplished, his purpose was accomplished. God heard my cry. God heard my cry. Listen to this. God doesn't need us. We need him. But what a miracle. What a wonder that he would stoop down and hear our cry. That's mercy. That's grace. It says here in verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. You and I cannot understand the horror of what sin and our corruption. What is our sin and our corruption? Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, was made sin for us. What a horrible pit. A horrible pit with no deliverance. He waited. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. None of us can possibly understand the horrible pit that is the corruption of our sin, the sin of his people. God says, cursed is everyone that not continueth not in all the things written in the law to do them. And he is in that pit, cursed of God. Cursed, cursed. He waited patiently. And the Lord inclined and brought him up out of a horrible pit. Brought him up out of a horrible pit. The eternal Son of God, according to his own will and mercy and grace, came here. The eternal Son of God was made flesh. Was made flesh. And paid our debt. And on the third day, the Lord delivered him out of that pit. What a wonderful. What a wonder. How wonderful and marvelous that is. And he set my feet, he says here. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? He's on that immovable throne of God. He's sitting. After Hebrews 1 says, after that he had purged our sin with his own blood, set down at the right. Verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He set him on a rock. It's unmovable. Now you and I,
We're on that rock too. The Lord Jesus Christ is that rock. And we're sitting with Him in the heavenly places right now. You know, I said I want to see the Lord. But when I see the Lord and I see the inseparable union of my Savior and my soul, I think, this is too wonderful. I'm sitting there. But we're saved by His faithfulness. And this is what the Lord is saying. He set my foot on a rock and He established my goings. He was justified. He was just, everything He said, God justified Him. Justified Him. He said, I and the Father are one. He justified Him in that. He is God, equal with God the Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He is God, the eternal Son of God. He established my goings. Everything that He did, God established it. Raised Him from the dead, set Him on the throne. How wonderful. How wonderful that is. Hallelujah. He set Him on the throne. Well, not only that, He put a new song in my heart. Put a new song in my mouth. This is a song of praise to God. This is most amazing to me. But in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of thee is mighty, and He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy, and He will rest in His love, and He will joy over thee with singing. With singing. And no one is singing more loudly or more beautifully than the Lord Jesus Christ. He sings a song of praise, a song of victory over all His enemies. That new song is a new song in our hearts also. We sing song of praise to Him. That song is a song that is sung around the throne. It's a song of redemption. You've washed us. You've washed us with your blood and made us kings and priests to God. And that song can be learned by no one except those that are redeemed. It's a song that's put there. It's put there. Establish my goings. It's put a new song in my mouth. Even praise to our God. Many shall see it. Many shall see the Lord Jesus Christ in His person and work. How many? Every one of God's elect. It's a number which no man can number. Many shall see. This is the will of the Father that sent me. I want to read that in John chapter 6. This is the will of the Father that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, many shall see this faithful one, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6. And this is the Father's will, verse 39, which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. See, many shall see. Many shall see the Lord Jesus Christ and His faithfulness. See the beauty. You know, the reason men trust in their own righteousness is they don't see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read in that Psalm 110, when it talks about thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Usually a stop right there. But what is it that makes God's people willing in the day of His power? Psalm 110. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth and the beauty. People don't come to Christ because He has not revealed Himself to them. But when the Lord Jesus Christ reveals Himself to them in the beauty of His holiness, and the beauty of His perfection, the beauty of His faithfulness, then you come running. You come running. They come willing. It's a revelation. And the beauty of His holiness. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now those I see are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in verse 4, I see the words are here, as it were, the church interrupting, if you will. The church, or maybe it would be God the Father. Blessed is the man. And though we say the same thing, blessed is that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. As singular as that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, blessed is that man. That's the same as we read in there in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man. In Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's speaking of one. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's one that's blessed. God says, blessed is that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the church, we're right in there with Him. Blessed is the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is Him forever. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord, Jehovah, his trust, and respecteth not the proud. I was thinking about that a little bit. And, you know, our father Adam, he was a man, the first man. And he had respect to the proud. He had respect to the proud. Satan came to him through Eve. Came to Eve. And he had respect. He believed the lie. He believed the lie. That's the proud. The one that said, I'll raise up and I'll sit on the hill. I'll be just like the Most High. And men believe a lie. They'd rather believe anything than believe God. But he says, has no respect of the proud, nor such as turn to lies. Turn to life. His word, the word of the Father, is in his bosom. He doesn't turn from that. He trusted God. He believed God. He said, the words that I speak, I receive my Father. Okay, now look here in verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're speaking again. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Wonderful works. And anything God does is wonderful. But you can think of the works of creation, the works of providence, but especially the work of salvation. Wonderful. Many. The work of salvation. Oh, how wonderful. The work of salvation. Many, O God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us. And this, I couldn't get away from this. Thy thoughts, which are to us. How long has God had His thoughts on His people? How long has God had His thoughts on His people? Ever. Forever. Well, how many are they then? How many are they then? Everything. You know, this is why all things work together for good. This is why all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. Because His thoughts are on His people. His thoughts are on His people. You know, the scriptures say in Isaiah 53, by His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. His knowledge His knowledge of all that you require, all that you need, all that He requires. And His thoughts are always from eternity on His people. To usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. More than can be numbered.
They cannot be reckoned up in order. How mysterious is the providence of God in the life of His people. God's purpose is always going forward, but as we see it, we can't reckon it in order. Sometimes it looks like we're going backwards. Sometimes it looks like we're going sideways. But in God's purpose, it's always going forward. It cannot be reckoned up in order.
If I would declare or speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And the Lord says in verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ear hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I. Who says? I. The eternal I am. Then said I. Then said the eternal Son of God, I come. You and I didn't come into this world. We began, right? We had a beginning. But the Lord Jesus Christ is from ever. He came into the world. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me. Now I want to stop here for a moment, and I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at what the Apostle Paul says here concerning, he's quoting this psalm. In chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is faithful even to the death of the cross. To put away the sins of His people, He must have blood. He must have blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He said, wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I want us to stop there for a second. It says here, my ear open. And right here it says, a body hast thou prepared me. Well, what is the Lord saying here? This is the faithful Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the sacrifice and offerings that are offered under the law, they can never put away sins. Thou didst not desire. That is, there's no pleasure in them. They were never given to put away sin. They were only types of that one true sacrifice. They were only types of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Only types. But it says here, mine ear hast thou opened. And in Hebrews it says, a body hast thou prepared me. Mine ear hast thou opened. That has reference to a willing, loving slave. In the law of God, when a man got into trouble and he needed to, couldn't get out of debt, he could go into servitude or slavery. And he must serve 6 years. At the seventh year, he must go free. But the Lord said, if he goes in by himself, he comes out by himself. But if his master gives him a wife, and he has children by that wife, and he comes out, he must come out by himself. The wife and the children are the master's. But if that slave freely says, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. and I won't go out free.
The master is to say, very well, we're going to go before the judges. We're going to go before the judges, and he's to confess before everybody, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children, and I won't go free.
And the master is to take a lesson and bore his ear. An iron and bore his ear.
He is to be marked. And that mark was to witness to everybody. From then on, this is not a forced servitude. This is a loving, willing servant.
And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ did.
He not only came into the world and obeyed God's holy law to perfection, but having established God's righteousness here on the earth, he's the only man that could go into glory by himself. By himself.
But he said, I love my master. I love God. I love my wife, his chosen people. I love my children, and I will not go free. And God took him out and hung him on the cross and pierced his hands and his feet and his side. And he wears those marks for all eternity. I'm convinced he's the only one that has marks in glory. Let no one say. It was the love for his God. It was the love for his people that hung him on the cross, that kept him there. I love my master. A body hast thou prepared me. My ear hast thou opened. God cannot die. And man, mere man, cannot satisfy. But the God-man, he both could die and satisfy God. My ear hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Now the volume of the book, as I understand it, is the beginning of the book. If you go to a library and you want to find a subject on, I don't know, geometry or something like that, they have this one is a Holy Bible. And it would say who wrote it. And this is the volume of the book. There's a book that's written and has seven seals. The purpose, the counsel of God. It's written and it's all of Him. From the very beginning. And you may also understand it, this volume. Well, in the volume of this book is written too. From the very beginning. This is a book of Him. Book of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is written that you might believe. He is God. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. It wasn't that he was just doing his will, he delighted to do his will. Delighted to do his will. Servile service. Am I saying that right? There's serviceable and there's servile. Servile service is not accepted. Servile service is not accepted. He delighted to do his will. I delight to do thy will. What will is that? To come into this world and redeem his people. To save his people from their sins. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. It's his word. His word. Now look at here in verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. There's several things that are mentioned here in these verses. And I want us to consider this. Except the Lord Jesus Christ reveal God to us, we cannot know God. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath told him out. And I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Righteousness. Justice.
What is it that we know about God and His righteousness? Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. God is holy. God is just. And He will punish sin wherever sin is found. Wherever sin is found. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He was made sin for us, and He bore the guilt. And He died on the cross. He took away our sin. But there are people who believe that by their own doing, they can establish a justice, a right standing, or righteousness before God. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with that here in Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They don't know. For being ignorant of God's righteousness, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ declares, His righteousness, God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to themselves unto the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the preaching of the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed. It is in the preaching of the gospel we see how God can be just and punish sin to the utmost degree, and at the same time be merciful. God be just and be merciful at the same time. And it's in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, but they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth, He's the end of the law for righteousness. The person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. I've declared thy righteousness in the great congregation. Everyone that is in this great congregation, that innumerable company, says there in Hebrews chapter 12, everyone that is in this congregation has that same righteousness. You know why? Because He's declared that righteousness. He's revealed that righteousness. Everyone in this congregation is dressed in the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. He is faithful. He is faithful. The Lord is faithful to His word, to His promise, to His purpose. His purpose to save a people. He's declared His faithfulness. God gave the Son a people. God gave the Son a people from before the foundation of the world. And not one of them be lost. Is He faithful? Is He faithful to His word? Is He faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He faithful? Is the Lord Jesus Christ faithful? I've declared thy faithfulness. The faithfulness of God is the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the salvation. I've declared thy salvation. Simeon said, Lord, thou lettest thy servant depart in peace. I've seen thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation, thy mercy and thy truth, loving kindness, grace and truth. These are not opposite in God. They're not opposite. He is a loving, merciful, and faithful. He's a just God and a Savior. A just God and a Savior. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I see the Lord crying out. Crying out. Though he was made sin, though he went to the cross and bare our sin in his own body, yet he always trusted God. And we're about to see something that we cannot understand. We cannot begin to understand. It says here, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about." Innumerable evils. We can't even begin to count our own sins, each one personally. I read this in a commentary and I thought it was real good. James says if you break the law one commandment, you're guilty of all 10. So whatever number you think you might have, that's multiplied by 10. But we can't even count ours. We can't even count our sins. "Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities," the Lord says, "mine iniquities." Corinthians says, "He was made sin for us who knew no sin." He was made sin for us. We don't understand that, but we believe it. He was made sin. Mine iniquities, not the iniquities of my people, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. When the Lord was in Gethsemane praying, the horror of being made sin came upon him. The horror. We cannot understand that because we are born in this world in sin and our nature. Just like they tell me that there is one atmosphere of pressure on my body right now. I've never felt that. They tell me there's one atmosphere of pressure on our body right now. What is that, like 14 something? But you can feel a little bit when you go on a plane or you go on a mountain or you go diving. You feel the pressure change. But you and I, we cannot feel the horror. We see it a little bit. We see it a little bit when we see the Lord Jesus Christ made sin and on the cross and crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see a little bit, but we cannot feel it. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me. But I want us to look one more time to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be pleased, O Lord. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord, make haste to help me. In other words, when that last, if it be possible, let this cup pass for me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that he drank the cup dry. But as soon, make haste, as soon as that payment is made in full, make haste to help me. Make haste to help me. And then the Lord says in verse 14, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. All those that refuse, all those for whom the Lord never, he said, I never knew you. That's why they don't love him, because he never loved them. And that's why people who die, they die because they hate him. They die in their sins, they hate him. But it says, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Imagine how Satan seeking to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. And the weakest point of our Lord in His humanity on the cross, God said, "You shall bruise His heel and He's going to crush your head." Think of the confoundment. The religious leaders, "Do away with Him. We will not have this man to reign over us." And on that third day, Him raised again from the grave. Talking about being confounded. "Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee." Let all those that seek Thee. Who are those that seek the Lord? "Be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation." Thy salvation is a person. Let those that love Thy salvation. And you know, the only way we love the Lord right now is because He shed abroad His love in our hearts. If you love Him, it's because He first loved you. And if you love Him, it's because He shed abroad His love in your heart. And it says here, those that love Thy salvation, love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the salvation. And let them say continually, "The Lord be magnified." Blessed is that man. The Lord be magnified. This is what we'll be saying for all eternity. Let the Lord be magnified. "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Well, I just read it. But the Lord could use it. It's too much. It's too much for me. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.